folding pocket.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, welcome to the Fast and the Curious with me, Bessie Glover.
Me, a moderately more tanned than before, Christian Hugill.
And me, team principal, Greg James.
If you're new here, welcome along. This podcast is for those die-hard Formula One fans, like our little pal over there, Christian, who is basically...
Sorry, can I have less than a little? I just think an average height fan over there.
Just below average height
average
male
height.
From the UK. Christian, who is basically pretending to drive a Formula One car in the womb. And also those that are just more...
Where have you got that from?
Are you saying that he drove his way out?
That's basically what he did, probably.
Right.
He moved this on.
This is grieving for me.
He was probably coming out going vroom.
Lovely image.
And all of those that just want to get to know Formula One a little bit more and discover this amazing sport.
Along the way, we are joined by our driver co-hosts. Over the last year or so, we've had Lewis Hamilton, we've had Max Verstappen, we've had Lando Norris, we've had Alex Albon, George Russell, Logan Sargeant, and many, many more. Throughout the season, we also hear from the teams and some of the people you don't normally hear from, how the sport is put together, how the cars are put together, who does the marketing, who's in the garage, who are these pit people, who are the people who are doing the tyres, all of that stuff we like to cover on this podcast.
And if you're new to the podcast or new to the sport, I've got some exciting news. And as we are in our studio, I'm going to take full advantage of this, and I would like help from all the people in this room. Please don't sit there quietly, because I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, it's race week! Formula One's back!
Yeah, cars!
Look, before we get onto that, we need to talk about our new studio and why we are basically sat in your brain, Christian. Because this is what I imagine your brain to sort of look like.
This studio does have similarities to my brain. There's lots of Formula One memorabilia, there's checkered flags, and it's quite pink.
Yeah, we shouldn't dwell on it too much for the audio listeners, because it is a podcast after all. But you can now watch this on YouTube, and the clips on Instagram and TikTok. You will see this new studio. Guys, we've really gone up in the world.
We really have. And it's lovely. There's a lovely sofa. There's props that producer Jimmy's been buying off eBay.
We've got
and that
a couple
we've been blagging.
A couple of old tyres here.
There's an actual old tyre. There's a screen. There's a pit board thing.
That's
my favourite bit.
That is my favourite bit by far.
Yeah. Fantastic. And we're populating it with our favourite hats from our favourite teams.
And it's not done yet. We're still adding to the stuff, and we can change it as we go, can't we? Our props stand over there.
Yeah, it's
and we've
got mugs. It's the first week. Oh, mugs. I didn't even notice the mugs. Fast and Curious mugs. My God.
But also, guys, we've got a helmet over there that is white.
That's Christian. We've already introduced
him. I knew that joke was coming. And you know, you can never say that I do a predictable joke. I knew that was coming.
The best bit about when Greg tells a joke, by the way, is that he starts smiling first.
Yes,
he
does.
Because he knows he's going to drop something.
He looks so happy with himself, doesn't he?
He's so proud of himself.
And I'm supposed to be in charge of this, but really, you keep me in check on this podcast. But it's very nice to see you both. It's great to be in this new area, and it's great that we can now be watched on YouTube.
It's lovely to be
by the children who like watching the internet.
Yeah, well, yeah, all the children. But also, we're going to get people to sign this helmet.
So oh yeah, we've got a helmet.
You can stop writing on Christian. It's not you're not allowed to.
No. Basically, any of the drivers or anyone from the world of Formula One that come in and come on our podcast, we're going to get them to sign our white helmet over there.
Again, don't bring a skin colour into it.
Oh, for God's sake.
Look at his little face.
Greg's phone's ringing. Should we answer it and see who it is? Should we put them on?
Hello?
Hi, Greg.
Hi, how you doing?
How you doing, mate? You all right?
Oh, is that Harry?
Yeah, it's Harry speaking.
Who's Harry?
Everything okay?
It's Harry.
Your car's all ready for you.
Great.
Oh.
Oh, was it? Did,
MOT, no issues.
Did it pass the MOT?
Yeah, yeah, no issues at all, man.
Okay.
Woo!
Amazing.
Are you at home at all? I need some space in the garage.
Oh, I'm not at home. I'm not going to be able to get back to a bit later, annoyingly.
He's doing a podcast.
Can I put the car on outside or?
Yes, I'll put some parking on the meter.
Yeah, if you don't, well, it'll be outside your house if I can get a space.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Because I'm running a bit short of space in the garage at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, no worries.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's okay. I'll put some parking on the meter.
I'll do that for you.
Is your wife at home? I can give her the keys, or shall I hold
just, you can shove it through the letterbox if you want.
Can I? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Thanks, Harry.
Right. I'll see you later.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Oh, it's nice to have Harry on the Fast and the Curious.
Harry.
Harry.
A-R-I.
Harry.
Harry. Yeah.
Harry Redknapp, was it?
No, he's Harry. Harry. Harry.
Oh, Harry.
Yeah.
Lovely, Harry.
I wasn't just being a bit of a geezer. Although, you do talk a bit more of a geezer when you're talking to
you
like...
You definitely
accent.
Put a voice on, didn't you?
Hello. Hello, Harry. Anyway, good news. Cars Parts MOT.
Oh, well, I'm pleased about that. What a nice start to the podcast.
That works, isn't it?
It's car yeah.
Cars, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if Harry likes Formula One and is excited for Bahrain. Should have
ring him back.
I don't think he will. I think Ari's more a sort of the V12 era.
Right, sure.
Sort of pretty...
He also sounded quite busy and he's got space in the garage issue, so let's maybe not ring him back.
Yeah. Anyway, MOT sorted.
Well, that's great news.
Helmet chat done. What's happening on today's show?
We've got so many listener questions, obviously ahead of Bahrain, but also talking about pre-season testing and all of that shabazz. And we're also going to be previewing Bahrain, of course, because it's race week, like Christian said, and we've got a very special guest on the show.
Oh, yes, we have. And also, we do need to, I think we need to front up to some of the criticism that's come our way over the last 7 days.
Yes,
I say our way, my way.
It's been a tough week for you, hasn't it, Greg?
It's been a fun week. I've enjoyed it, but for the purposes of drama, incredibly victimised and very, very sad. Anyway,
moving on.
We've had some brilliant guests and things that have happened in the off season, and I can't believe we're now here. We're on the precipice of a brand new season. It's come around so quickly. But let's just do a recap. So we've had Betty in New York hanging out with the Williams boys, Logan Sargeant, Alex Albon, and their boss James Vowles, who, by the way, did you see on Drive to Survive? Couldn't say his name. Have you seen that clip of James Vowles?
I've not seen that episode yet.
Okay. So James Vowles is really nervous on camera, but understandably, because you're on Netflix, and he goes, "Oh, hello, I'm James Vowles." Oh, sorry. He goes, "I'm James Vowles, the team Prince Williams F1."
Like, sounds a little bit like Adrian Childs in that impression. Hello, good evening, I'm Adrian Childs.
A lovely James Vowles. Christian, you were somehow allowed to visit Jackie Stewart at his actual house.
I was.
We met F1 Academy driver Leah Block. We had Fast and the Curious debut for Sergio Perez at the Red Bull launch. We went to Silverstone with Mercedes and McLaren. We talked to Toto Wolff, Fred Vesti, Mick Schumacher, James Allison, Zach Brown, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, and that's all before the season started.
And I went to Bahrain and came back in one piece.
Yes, and you're back from Bahrain. How was it out there?
It was amazing, but I had underestimated how intense testing is for everyone, whether it's us in the media covering the sport, whether it's the teams, whether it's the drivers. 8 hours of on-track action in the sun in the desert a day. It's such a long period of time and such a lot for the teams and drivers to get their head around so early on. So yeah, I had a lovely time. Goodness me, did I sleep last weekend when I got home. And then, you know, there were some people who were doing what I had done. So I'd worked flat out for 3 days and also doing a proper job, not just doing media stuff like I was doing, and then got an overnight flight home like I did, then gone to their factories the following day to debrief. So landed overnight, straight into the factory. Right, what did we learn? This sport is so intense. It's unbelievable. They work so hard.
Wow. It's all very exciting. We're going to talk about Bahrain in a minute. We're going to preview the season starting.
Yes.
But first, we've got to talk about Greg being victimised. Now, this is because we had Oscar Piastri on the podcast and you asked him this.
Wouldn't it be incredible if Lewis Hamilton won this year? At Mercedes.
No, it would not be incredible.
No, what are you talking about?
In terms of the story.
Yeah.
I think Oscar Piastri winning first world championship is a much better story.
We've got loads of time. He's 40. Yeah, you've got loads of time. You're at half his age.
I am firmly removing myself from this conversation.
Respect your elders, Oscar. Be patient.
Which, by the way, I stand by. That's the spirit of this podcast. Is that, you know, these people, we say they're interviews. They're not really interviews. They are co-hosts.
So there was a lot of people I spotted who clearly had never listened to our podcast before.
Mm.
And also, dare I say, I don't think you'll be too offended by this, don't know who you are.
And that's fine.
And that's fine. But we're saying, I can't believe that F1 reporter asked him that, which you are many things, Greg James, but I think you proudly say you're not a Formula One reporter.
No, that's the whole point of this podcast, is that I'm not. And neither are you, Betty.
No, I'm not.
Well, you are.
I am.
Just about. No, you know, you absolutely are. But that's the, but I get it. I love that sort of thing because it means that people are, you know, they've gone, what's this? This isn't how it's supposed to be done. You're supposed to treat these people with respect the whole time.
Some of my favourite, I had a great day.
You did. You messaged the group. You alerted me to the fact that it was going viral.
And we've not said, some of the comments thought Greg was the worst person on planet Earth for asking that question. How very dare he?
Go on, read some of them out.
Ask Oscar. Well, I
was sat there. I was actually at Cambridge v Peterborough United.
Oh, the big one.
League One, big derby.
Not the big one.
Clearly wasn't very exciting. I was sat there going through the comments. Some of my favourites. What an unprofessional reporter. It's like asking Barcelona, would it be incredible if Real Madrid took the championship this year?
No, right. It isn't like that.
That is a great question, and I would love to ask them that. I think that would be an amazing thing to ask. That's great. It's not enough of that. Genuinely, one of my beliefs in the world is that we hold pop stars and sports people in way too high regard. You can be respectful, but you can play with these people. They are doing driving or singing for a job. They're fun.
Anyway, my favourite comment. Who gave this jerk a microphone?
Well, him. He started the podcast.
Me.
So yeah.
Another thing that made a splash was something that happened at our pre-season curry with Karun Chanduk. And I'm talking about possibly my favourite thing that's ever happened on the podcast is the mention of a certain man.
Mm.
Let's roll the clip.
Only a couple of days before the Lewis news came out, I'd been interviewing Dan Fallows, who's one of the big tech bosses of Aston Martin.
Not Dan Fallows.
Dan
Fallows? Are you? How did you get him?
Well, he's never coming on this podcast now, is he?
Well, it is.
Love it.
One of the key men behind Sebastian Vettel's Red Bull World titles.
Has
he got a merchandise range?
Anyway, what's
no, don't worry about the story. No. No, sod you all. You say let's do a podcast, say that you know about F1, then you try and do it, and then it gets thrown back in your face. Don't worry about it. Just because we've upgraded me and got an actual F1 driver now.
Sorry, is Dan Fallows turning up?
Because
otherwise this is a complete waste of time. I only came here because I thought that Dan Fallows...
The story's not worth it now.
Betty, do you want to hear the story about Dan Fallows? Because I do.
I do want to hear about Dan Fallows.
He said that it can be very awkward when they know that drivers are leaving for the following season because they have to keep bits quiet. But the last time it happened at Aston Martin, Sebastian Vettel was retiring, so they didn't have to.
Right.
But then the following day after I'd had that chat about that exact happening, it happened.
I'm being a... It is genuinely interesting, but the way you announced Dan Fallows is like you announced George Clooney was turning up.
Okay, Christian, have you calmed down now? Because if anyone's seen the video, he looked so cross with me.
Angry. So angry.
Yes, I've calmed down from that. I can cope with you lot taking the mickey out of me. It's been happening for a year now that you lot have been bullying me. That's fine. But what I knew was going to happen, as soon as, for example, Dan did an interview with Sky Sports and our listeners are flooding underneath the Sky Sports tweet. The Dan Fallows. I was like, I am going to have to explain this to Dan in the paddock. And then who did I bump into in Bahrain last week?
Dan in the paddock.
Dan in the paddock.
Dan Fallows.
I'm like, I just hope he knows they're bullying me, not him.
Well, let's ask him. Welcome to the Fast and the Curious, the Dan Fallows.
Thank you very much.
Hang on. This isn't the Dan Fallows, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, sorry, it was not the George Clooney, but it is the Dan Fallis. Yeah.
Dan, you look like George Clooney, to be honest. Spitting image.
Thank you so much. I was thinking that, you know, I have been on an episode of Midsummer Murders. I was walking past the church in the background, so I thought, you know, has George Clooney been on Midsummer Murders? You know.
Sorry.
You're already the best guest we've ever had. Yeah, One of my secret favourite shows is Midsummer Murders.
It's great.
From when I was a kid.
It's great.
Can you tell how cool I was and still am? I loved Midsummer. What episode were you in? Was it John Nettles as Inspector Barnaby, or was it the new guy?
No, it was a later one, but it was we were on holiday and we were walking past the church and they happened to be filming it. It's not, I don't think I was credited, amazing, but just I'd like to point out that I don't think George Clooney has ever been on that, so I've got one up on him.
Well, you're one of the few people to actually appear on Midsummer Murders and not be murdered.
Yes, that's true. Yet.
That's a great claim to fame. And now you're the Dan Fallows. Dan, my first question is, when did news reach you that you were talked about on The Fast and the Curious?
Well, when I bumped into Christian, actually, he was very apologetic about the whole thing. But yes, I hadn't heard of it up to that point, and then saw the clip. And yes, it's nice of Corinne to jump in as well, because I have met him quite a few times, so he knows exactly who I am.
Yeah, it was definitely sort of everyone just piled in on Christian. But I'm so grateful that you're on this podcast today, and we should talk about your actual job, really, because I was being deliberately provocative and deliberately annoying.
I was being annoying.
Yeah,
as per usual.
I would like to apologise to all of you, but particularly to the Dan Fallows. It was the way that Christian said it. It was like he was announcing the second coming.
No, I understand. I also understand that, you know, in this job, you're not particularly famous outside a very, very small world. So I'm not surprised that no one's heard of me either. But yes.
In all seriousness, we do celebrate all aspects of the sport, and we have loads of people who are in front of the camera, behind the wheel, behind the camera, in front of the wheel, all the rest of it, all the other variations. But we do like to celebrate all the different corners of this amazing sport. So getting you on is a big get. You are the Dan Fallow. So can we talk about what your week's been like? What's this will be going out a day before Bahrain. So how's it all going?
Yeah, it's been a busy week, as you can imagine, with all the testing last week and reacting to that. It's a very strange period of time because you're in this sort of limbo between when you've had the results from testing and then this time when you're kind of waiting to find out exactly where everybody is and quite how good your car is. And I think we sort of say quite often when we're asked the question, you know, where do you think you are? We sort of say, oh, we don't know. We'll find out in the race. And I think there's always an assumption that we're keeping all this information to ourselves, but we're really not. We really have, you know, not a great deal of idea where we are because, you know, just don't know what other people are up to. So we just get to find out, tomorrow it'll be, which is quite exciting for everybody, but also incredibly nerve-wracking.
And Dan, we celebrate so many areas of the sport that I've loved since I was a small child. And I said this on the podcast the other week, but the people I've got almost more respect for, more admiration for, are the technically minded people like yourself. Because as someone that's so technically bad that I struggle to put up a shelf, I am in awe of people like you. Can you run through, for our listeners who are new to Formula One, and we've got so many who are new to motorsport and Formula One, what your role is with Aston Martin and what it involves? Because honestly, it's amazing what you guys do.
So my role is to look after the kind of technical side of the team, which is really the design and construction of the car. And then we have, obviously that goes over to the race team to test it and to make the most of it or try not to make a mess of it, I suppose is another way of looking at it. But we're obviously a huge team of people that are involved in designing and manufacturing the car. And it's a relentless work that goes on through the whole year, as you can imagine. I mean, even over Christmas time, we're doing development, aerodynamic development and performance development. And then obviously having to put the car together, it's all very late. And we're now able to do everything, or most of the majority of the manufacturing in-house. We've built this new sort of technology campus here in Silverstone, and there's been an enormous amount of work to try to get the car built over the Christmas. It's a busy time. There's a huge amount of people working on it, and it absolutely never stops.
So Dan, basically, whether the Aston Martin car is fast or not is all down to you. So if it's slow, we know who to blame.
Well, I like to say if it's slow, it's my fault. If it's fast, then it's the hundreds of people that have put the effort into it.
Very modest, very modest.
We've got an incredibly good team of people here. I mean, we're very fortunate, and they've done an amazing job to get us to where we are, particularly since in the last couple of years. I mean, Aston Martin in this guise is quite a young team, really. And to be sort of spoken about in the terms that we are being spoken about, and to have the aspirations that we do now, and for them to be realistic is an incredible achievement, really. So they've done an amazing job.
It's a massive leap forward. And notice Dan there, Greg's our team principal on this podcast, Dan. So, you know, the way he absorbed the pressure of his team there, I think that was, you know, and empowered his team there. I definitely think he could take some notes on. But I said this on the podcast last season, Dan, thank goodness for Aston Martin, because your rise up the grid and the resurgence of Fernando was just fantastic. It must have been incredibly exciting to be a part of, because those podiums and how quickly the team leapt forward, it was for most F1 fans one of the highlights of last season.
It's quite unusual to see that sort of jump up the grid, I think, isn't it? I mean, you tend to sort of see with fairly fixed regulations that teams sort of stay where they are. But there's a combination of things that I think have kind of factored into it. I mean, we weren't at all happy with the 2022 car. We thought there was a lot of things we could improve going into 23. So we did that and made a big step. But I think, I mean, even then in season, we could see how fast some other people developed and how close really the grid was towards the end of the season. I mean, there were, you know, sort of tenths in 8 or 10 places in Abu Dhabi qualifying. I mean, it's incredibly tight. So, you know, the margins are very, very small, but the gains are definitely there to be had.
Small margins for sure. But what are you expecting for this season, Dan? What if you can give us a little bit of a prediction?
Well, we sort of came out of last season feeling like we'd fixed some of the issues that we had with the car in the middle of the season. So that kind of defined a lot of the work we were doing towards the end of it. And that carried over into this year's car. And what we're sort of aiming for really is just to show another step forward. You know, we want to make sure that we can build on the success that we had last year, produce a car which is a kind of solid performance to start off with, but then get into the development mid-season. You know, it's not just about how the car starts the season, it's also about how you can develop it through the season, and that's really what we want to sort of compete in.
Dan, we're going to let you go in just a second, because the fact you've joined us on the days leading up to the race is wonderful, but also mad, so we thank you hugely. But just before you go, I saw Fernando in Bahrain last weekend, and I'm convinced the man's getting younger. As Aston Martin's technical director, is that something you can confirm for us? Because I swear he starts getting younger and younger every year. Is he in fact a miracle of modern science?
You know, I think he might be. I mean, I think he sort of leaps about like a teenager. It's extraordinary. And I think he's probably fitter than he was when he first started racing. I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, he shows absolutely no sign of slowing down. He shows no sign of losing any of his hunger for the sport. You know, and the way he kind of interacts with everybody, he's so keen. He wants to push everybody. He wants to make sure we're all kind of, you know, doing the best job we can. So he's just this incredible kind of force of nature, this sort of energy within the team. I think he's the most youthful 40-something-year-old I've come across.
Is it true, Dan, that he loves gardening? Is that an actual thing? And have you seen it?
That's a new one on me. I haven't heard that one. No, I haven't heard him talk about anything else apart from cars or racing. So if he's into gardening, that's absolutely a new one.
But there's something quite sweet about that, because he's clearly incredibly happy. And we saw that a lot through the season. He'd surprised himself. And just there was that, it was that quote. It wasn't quite thank you for this car, but he was like, this car is so brilliant to drive, wasn't it, when he finished on the podium?
Well, it seemed to rejuvenate his love for the sport, because at the end of his time with McLaren, for example, he wasn't happy, and he seemed to enjoy Alpine more, but it seemed that the Aston Martin Fernando Alonso relationship seemed to rejuvenate his love of everything, Dan.
I think it has. I mean, he's been very positive ever since he joined the team, and he's obviously really enjoyed driving the car. And I think he loves the atmosphere in the team. I think he loves the way that we interact with him as well. You know, we really appreciate having him here. We're very fortunate to have our two drivers. I think they're quite different personalities in many ways, but they're both incredibly good racers and, you know, give us the feedback they want. But they're just good fun to have around, and they interact very well with the rest of the team. So I think it has been like a new lease of life. He's come into it with the right attitude, and you know, he's obviously continuing to enjoy it, and, you know, long may it last, really.
Yeah, we're here. We love Fernando on this podcast, and we love you, the Dan Fallows. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time. I know you're incredibly busy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dan.
And go well this Saturday.
Thanks. That's everybody. Thank you very much.
I just find people like him fascinating. Like, when you see the tiny little bits of Formula One cars being made on screens, and that goes into bigger bits, and the people who marry it all together, Like, how clever are these people? Like, it's just amazing. And we don't see enough of these people. So it's nice to shine a spotlight on people like Dan, because what they do is just blows my mind.
Yeah, I'd love to watch him at work, because when we were at Silverstone in the shakedown and we were watching some of the McLaren gang taking the car apart, we were fascinated. And all, like, they had a screwdriver and they were just like taking it apart. I'd love to see how someone like Dan does his job. Yeah. Oh, so interesting.
There's those amazing moments, aren't there, in this sport where it is very digital. It's the highest end technical spec. It's all those amazing things, computerized and, you know, just so clever. But really, the analog bits are so interesting. Mm. The analog bit of, you just have to, sometimes you just got to tighten a screw like that and by hand. Mm. And then otherwise this car's not going to go. Mm. Fascinating.
And also, let's wish Aston luck this year, because they were such a fantastic part of last season. There's so many subplots to Formula One. That midfield pack, and I don't mean midfield really, I mean everybody behind Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, Aston, is going to be one of the most exciting things about the season. And Aston are going to be right in there, I think, again. And there's no doubt Fernando Alonso is still capable of winning races. Lance will want to be closer to Fernando this year. They're a really interesting part of this season. So go on, Team Aston. We want them to be right up there with McLaren, Ferrari and Mercedes, because that would be so much fun to watch.
Okay, the first race is upon us, which I can't quite believe that I'm saying that, because it's come around so incredibly quickly. Bahrain, let's talk about it. Christian, you were obviously at pre-season testing. Where's your head? And where's your heart?
A good question. My heart is very excited to see it come back. I briefly was in the commentary box on the actual coverage, which was insane over testing. And I said this then, that when there was a little moment in testing where someone overtook one another, because we'd watched the cars go round and round and round for 8 hours a day at testing so many times, there was a little piece of on-track overtaking. I was like, oh, they also race, don't they? This will be fun. Like, I'm loving seeing them back on track going round and round, but the racing's better than this, isn't it? So, yes, the F1 fan of old in me is just really excited to have racing back and it being properly back into the swing of things. I suppose my head, if I'm putting F1 reporter hat on, is very excited to see and intrigued to see how far ahead Red Bull are, whether some rumours about Mercedes being possibly quicker than they showed in testing are true.
Ooh.
And where, as we just mentioned with Dan, where that behind Red Bull pack sits, because no one really knows where Aston, McLaren, Ferrari sit, and can even RB push up higher because they had a good testing. So I think that the second quickest team on the grid battle is fascinating too. I think that's going to really interest me going into the first race.
RB's going to be tricky, isn't it? Because in my head then he said RB and I thought Red Bull.
Yeah, same, yeah. Same.
So I am refusing to call it the sponsorship name unless I absolutely have to, because so this is a good moment of clarification. Alfa Romeo last year are Sauber now, and AlphaTauri last year are RB.
So obviously, you said in our last episode, and everyone was talking about Red Bull and Max Verstappen and how he just looks so dominant, you know, ahead of everyone again. But obviously, this is going to be like the most intense season that it's been for a while, 24 races. Do you think he's going to be able to sustain that across all 24 races?
Yes.
Like, surely this is, but hear me out. This could be the season where he just falls short a little bit. Like, it might not be as consistent because he's got to sustain it for 24 races.
Could be. And I said this on the podcast so many times last season, his consistency was unbelievable. And last year is for me the season where we saw Max Verstappen go from being world champion to one of the all-time greats. Mm. So I believe he will sustain it. I believe he will stay so consistent. And I think what we saw in testing is I was lucky enough to stand at the side of the track at one point. That Red Bull in Max's hands looks complete. He again seems to have that relationship between car and driver perfectly in sync. We didn't see that with Checo already. And this is why Checo will want to have a better Bahrain race weekend than they had test. He didn't look as comfortable in Checo's hands. So I think we're going to see a similar thing to last year. I think we're going to see Red Bull in Max's hands quicker than everyone else. I'd be surprised if Checo was dominantly quicker than Mercedes and Ferrari, because that's not what testing showed us. Of course, as I said on the last podcast, the caveat is it's only testing, it's too early to tell. And Checo will have had a week of looking at simulator data and all of that. But there's a reason Max won all the races last year and Checo only won two, and they were right at the start of the season before Max properly found his groove. Max is sensational. He's one of the all-time greats.
Max is clearly very quick, clearly very skilled. You just said one of the greats. Makes very few mistakes. Is that because he's so far ahead of everybody and he's not being pushed into making mistakes? Or is he just superhuman and so, so good with that car?
He's superhuman and so, so good with that car. Definitely. Something that does intrigue me that we never really got the answer to last year is what level was Checo driving at? So if you put Lewis Hamilton in that Red Bull, would that Red Bull be as dominant? Mm. If you put a mid-table driver, and this is no criticism of him, but say an Esteban Ocon, a Pierre Gasly, brilliant racing driver in their own right, how good would they be in that Red Bull? How good was that Red Bull last year? And how much was it the relationship between Red Bull and Max? So just to pick you up on when you said, is it because he was so far ahead he doesn't need to? That's a really good point. But Checo wasn't that far ahead. And Checo's a race-winning, really good racing driver.
Yeah, I know that, but there weren't any battles, were there? That's the thing. And the real pressure in Formula One comes from those close battles. And when you can hold your nerve and you're trying to overtake on a corner, you're waiting for that, you're doing the braking at the last minute. We saw crashes and we saw incidents with those moments where people are fighting neck and neck. I guess I'm answering my question myself, which is he's so far ahead, he doesn't need to worry about that. But if there was somebody this year who was just a little bit closer to him, would he feel that pressure and you might see some more mistakes?
Yeah, and the proof of your question is 2021, where we'd seen it for so many years with Lewis, that Lewis had had the sort of dominance that Max is having now, probably not quite as dominant as Max is being now. But the fact that Max was so effective, almost getting his elbows out and giving Lewis no respect and taking the fight to him, saw mistakes from both of the two drivers when they're in that battle. More mistakes happen in the heat of battle. Mm. But what someone needs to do first is be able to take that step up to Max's pace. Yeah. And that, you'd think the best person to do that would be Checo, but he wasn't able to do that last year.
Is that because the car is so moulded to Max, though, that it fits him like an absolute glove, doesn't it? And Checo, that position Checo's in must be one of the hardest positions to be in sport.
That's a bit of an unknown factor. I mean, there are plenty of people within Formula One who say Red Bull purposely make that car to suit Max. There are others that have the school of thought of, well, they just make it quick and Max does the best job of extracting that and he does the best job of making it work with the car. Do you see what I'm saying? So listen, where we're going to be in Bahrain, in my view, is Max being quickest. How close can Mercedes get? How close can Ferrari get?
McLaren?
I don't think McLaren or Aston will quite be there yet, okay, based on what we saw in testing.
Right.
I think the challenge is most likely to come from Mercedes or Ferrari. But as you said right at the start, Greg, long season. And just because Max has the advantage at the start, Mercedes seem confident. They know their car better than last year. It responds to changes they make better than it did last year. That should give us encouragement that as we go through the season, they can identify a problem, make a change and get results, which is what they struggled with last year.
That is what makes me happy and excited. The thing that I am actually most excited for, though, is to see the battle between Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri in McLaren. Well, that genuinely makes me so excited.
Last year, you know, Oscar looked really competitive to Lando on one lap pace, but Lando had the advantage over a Grand Prix. That's really interesting. The Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz battle is fascinating. The George Russell Lewis Hamilton battle is fascinating. Even further back down the grid, Yuki Tsunoda and Daniel Ricciardo. That's really interesting. Will Daniel be able to stake his claim for a place up higher up the grid? Will Yuki continue to impress like last year? Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly are really evenly matched. Can Logan get closer to Alex? There are these really interesting inter-team battles up and down the grid. There's a lot to be excited about for this season.
Yeah, it's like, are we going to be wearing this one? or are we going to be wearing this one?
For the benefit of the listeners, Betty has just put on the Lando cap and then the Oscar cap.
I enjoyed the demonstration. Betty
Thanks,
Glover,
guys.
In our studio for now. Thank you.
We've got loads of listener questions.
Well,
I think
can
we
you do
these?
Because I've just got to pay for my parking. So.
Oh, yeah, you do that. Don't leave Ari hanging.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll
run through
Ari
this while Brexit's on page for his parking.
First one comes from Matt. He says, since testing, there was plenty, well, these aren't the final cars, or we don't know until the teams will hold back, etc., etc. Will the cars we saw in testing not be the ones that start the season?
It'll be the same car, Matt, but in between the gap between testing and the race, there has been time for the teams to tweak and develop these cars. They've sort of been through two phases of development. We saw the cars at launch. The teams have had time to change them before testing. We've had testing. Now there's been time to change them before the first race. And to be honest, Matt, the cars are never, or not until we get to the very end of the season, the final cars. They're constantly evolving. So in answer to Matt's question, expect them to have evolved somewhat since testing. Before we get to the first race of the season, there will have been some involvement in that gap between testing and race weekend.
Roxy says, I still want to know what the torture equipment was on the front of the Ferraris in testing.
Okay, so the torture equipment she means is a rake, effectively. That's what it's called. Incredibly unglamorous title. But there's two things that teams put onto the cars that you'll have seen in testing last week that are unusual. The first is the rakes. They are big chunks of metal that get put on the car, and they're slightly soft metal. The cars, the teams are still getting to know how the cars behave, where the wind goes, where the cars move the wind to, and the wind flow happens as it moves over the car. They will put these pieces of metal on the cars. They will go out and they will come back. And what will have happened is the wind will have bent and moved the metal, and that will help the team understand the airflow and the characteristics of the car and how the front wing and bits of that is working. Does that make sense?
It does.
Wow.
So it'll slightly move, and that'll tell them where the wind's going. The other thing is FlowVis paint. It's like a sticky, not quite as quick drying paint. So it's normally light green, sometimes it's red. It gets sprayed on the front or on the side of the car. And when it dries again, as the wind moves past the car, again, the patterns of where the paint has gone and where the wind's pushed the paint gives the team's understanding to the airflow and the characteristics of the car. So the rakes and the FlowVis paint are effectively helping the teams get to know their cars better and helping to get the airflow.
Final question, and it's from Jamie. And Greg, you can join in on this. What's everyone's dark horse prediction of the year? Actually, Greg, you go first.
Well, based on our chat with the very sassy Oscar Piastri.
Oscar Piastri.
Very good.
Thank you.
You stole that from the comment. I saw that comment.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did.
I'm going to predict that he will win one race this year.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the world championship. Then
yeah,
he went race this year.
No, he won't win the world championship this year. Are you mad?
Well, he thinks he will.
Well, he has to say that.
He's Oscar Piastri.
He's
biased.
He's so biased.
Yeah, but it would be absolutely remarkable if anyone other than Max won it.
Well, will Lando win one? Because he hasn't won one yet.
Lando will win
one. Is this Lando's year?
Yes, he will definitely win a race. But I also think Oscar Piastri will win a race this season.
That's a good one. But wins for both McLaren drivers is a good one.
I wouldn't call it a dark horse prediction. But
no, I think.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Oscar Piastri winning a Grand Prix is definitely a dark horse outside shout.
Okay.
I think not. It's not because of Oscar's talent, is more because McLaren weren't quite ready to win races last season. Yeah. So that's why I think it qualifies.
I'd say the dark horse prediction, a Haas 1-2. There's your dark horse prediction.
I mean, the horse is so dark, it's blending into the black curtain at the back of the studio.
That's more of a dark Haas prediction. Okay.
It's going to be a long season, everybody.
Oh, you love it. You love it.
Go on, Christian, give me your dark horse.
Haas.
I will stick to the one that I said in the curry with Caroon. Williams to beat Alpine in the Constructors' Championships.
Ooh. Come on then, your dark horse, go.
Fernando Alonso is going to quit F1 and become a gardener.
Oh,
because
wow.
That's what Mike Crack told us when we interviewed him at Silverstone, that he loves gardening.
That's dark horse.
He's going to have enough of it. Doesn't want to do it anymore. He's tired. Although he looks
he's tired.
although he looks younger. and he might look younger. He wants a break. He wants to go gardening. He's had enough. So that's my dark horse prediction.
Good. Well, all the dark horses have been let out of the stables, and that is the end of this week's Fast and the Curious. It's been a dream to sit in our brand new camp studio. You can watch this on YouTube. Please follow us on social media and come back in a few days' time when we'll look back at the Bahrain Grand Prix.
I'm excited for that. And if you've got any questions to fire my way, we are Fast Curious Pod on all the social medias. And we'll be back after the Bahrain Grand Prix. Enjoy the first race of the season. And now I will. Bye.
Bye.